Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. My name is Sydney Brown, and I'm the chair of the Restore Our Community Coalition. And I just want to welcome our media that is present, other community members, and our elected official. We are here today to just honor the legacy of our beloved sister, Stephanie Barbara Jeter. The announcement has come out that the DOT wants to move forward with doing an EIS, which we are somewhat disappointed about. We were anticipating an appeal, but we do not oppose an environmental impact study. But we do stand to say that we are not broadening this project for it to be delayed for 10 or 20 years from now. As a community, we cannot afford that. So we are asking and appealing to the DOT to make sure that in doing this EIS, we remain laser focused on a community that has been most harmed from this. So with that being said, the next person that we are gonna be hearing from is our Assembly Majority Leader, Crystal Peoples-Stokes. And before I pass the mic over to her, I do want to say that we are grateful that our Governor Kathy Hochul and the Commissioner of NYSDOC, Maria Teresa Dominguez, are in support of ROC and engaging us with the community to move this project forward.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here with the people who I started this issue with, and I want to thank you all for being in the room. But I do want to honor Chuck Schumer, Brian Higgins, Kathy Hochul, Tim Kennedy, and well as Senator Gillibrand for listening to this community ask for something that they had been working on for decades. These elected officials at different levels of government were visited in their offices, they came to the community, and they helped figure out how to make the community's vision a reality. Given where we are today, I will say I have had the opportunity to speak directly to Governor Hochul, and what she basically said is that we are not going to appeal, we're going to go through a new EIS study. Now, I don't know how long that's gonna take, but I know that this battle has been for at least 30 years that we've been trying to do this.
Yeah.
And if it's gonna take two more, then we just have to keep going. And that's exactly what we'll do. How the EIS study, the new one, will turn out, how it will look, whether it's going to change traffic patterns in totality, or whether it's gonna add value to the project as it already is been decided to happen, I'm not sure. But I know that these are the folks I came with, these are the folks I'm gonna stay with, and the next 2-4 years, or whatever it takes, we're gonna keep this battle going. That's it.
The next person that is going to come up to the podium, I'm going to say, is Malcolm Lott, who is a resident along Humboldt Parkway. As we've shared, ROC is a coalition of businesses, organizations, and community members. And I'll say it's the community members who live right along the expressway and the artery streets that have supported this, that have been engaged. And I'll say Naya Badgers, who is not able to be here, I'll just add some notes as far as, you know, she bought her home on Humboldt, looking forward to her aesthetics in front of her home improving the property values, and she supports this project and the legacy. But we'll hear from Malcolm at this time for him to give his perspective as a resident directly along Humboldt. Malcolm.
How's everybody doing? First off, thank you, Sydney, for asking me to do this. I've been...
Speak up a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Basically, long story short, as a resident, I was looking forward to this project. Just not even for me, but for my daughter, my nieces, nephews, and just for the next generation. As somebody that's a homeowner and that's been over here since I was about 10, 11, I'm ready for a new look on life, basically. As far as the project, it'll bring such a fresh air, such a new perspective to this whole thing that we live in Buffalo that's been neglected for the past, I don't know how long. So why not bring a project that could bring a new way of life, that will bring money to our community, and just like I said, just a new way of life. I'm not against the study. I'm pretty sure nobody's against new or old information as long as it's proper and properly done. But we can't hold this up for too much longer. And it would just end up probably being like another project that's came and went in Buffalo. How many projects have we had here that just came and went just because, you know, somebody didn't want it? So that's pretty much it for me. I'm
Thank you, Malcolm. Thank you. Next, I'd like to call our Madison District Councilwoman Zanetta Everhart to speak.
Thank you, Sydney. I will be very quick. For me, this is about gratitude and gratefulness. I am grateful to Stephanie Barbara Jeter, who was an amazing mentor to me, and to the ROC Group for their unwavering commitment to this project. They have been working on this project for decades, for years, even before I became a councilwoman. I was attending the meetings, and they stood strong on this project. They lobbied our elected officials in the state, in the federal level, to get this funding. They did a lot of work on this. They did a lot of research. And for me to be a councilwoman now, it is my duty to stand strong for them and to stay committed to their vision. For me, it is very important to say that to our governor, to the DOT, if we're doing an EIS, wonderful, great. But number one needs to remain is the commitment that was made to the ROC Group and this Humboldt Parkway neighborhood. Yeah. And that commitment was a tunnel project and funding for the neighborhood, the streets, the business districts, and the homeowners in that neighborhood. That is what I want to see stay in this plan. I don't care how it shakes out later down the road, but what I want to see happen is the commitments that were made. Thank you.
Thank you. And next, due to the importance of people's time, and I appreciate our wonderful majority leader, Councilwoman Leah Holton Pope, and I'll ask her to come next.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Usually I'm like, it's a great day in Buffalo. I will not lie, I'm a little disappointed today. I'm struggling a little bit. I've been struggling for a few days. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been struggling for a few days. I don't think it's long. Because I found myself reflecting on the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty, which was supposed to be the symbol of freedom. It was supposed to recognize the end of slavery. It was supposed to acknowledge the fact that our country and France had something in common with one another, and that was freedom, right? And the bottom of it, it says, they changed it a little bit. They decided to not use the chains on their hands and instead changed it to a tablet representing the end of slavery. But they did leave the chain on the feet, and it was hidden by her skirt. But the bottom of it says something to the effect of, give me your poor and your tired, your huddled masses longing to be free. So I struggle when I think of New York State being this place, this beacon of light and hope, when we still are keeping people bound.
Amen.
Unfortunately, yeah. That makes me upset. I'm struggling with that, and I've been struggling for a few days. I'm okay with the EIS study. It needs to be done. We were told that some things were done. If you don't want to fight back by appealing, fine, but do not change what the purpose was, as my colleague says. Too many people have fought and died and lived in this country. And it's my people. It's on the backs of those who traversed the Middle Passage, who made it through Reconstruction, who somehow made it through civil rights, and are still surviving and thriving. And now we've got a person who is in the White House literally dismantling everything. And in New York State, supposed to be one of the most liberal places, we are still fighting. This is not acceptable to me. So my desire is to see what the people have been asking for to come to pass. Cover it. Filling in, do the study, but make sure that my people are not impacted in a negative way, and I'll support you. Don't remove the money, because that was something that was promised and guaranteed, and too many people have fought and died and lost their lives because of it. These are those huddled masses longing to be free. And I have the wonderful history to say that, yes, I am the ancestor of those who traversed the Middle Passage, but I'm also the ancestor of those I'm the descendant of those ancestors who came through searching for a new life from Jamaica because things weren't working well, and also those who came here from Eastern European areas trying to avoid a dictator. That's who I am right now. My people, this community that didn't have a voice at the table when you put this expressway in here in the first place, should not be ignored now. And it would be irresponsible for me as a newly elected individual to not speak up and stand for them in any way and capacity that I can. So yes, I stand with my community as a whole. We don't always agree on how we're gonna get to these things, but I think one thing we do stand for sure on is to take care of each other, take care of this community, make sure that our communities are safe, but keep your word. Because yes. Acting as if any of us are gonna still be here in the future is crazy. We will not always have the same governor. We will not always have the same elected officials. I will not be here forever, but when the annuals of town are written in 50, 60, 70, 100 years from now, you write it. I want it to be said that Leah Marie Halton Pope stood up for her community and did something right for the 33 to restore some injustices that were done. Thank you.
The next person I would like to have come up is Sam Radford. And also just want to note there are a lot of other people, but I'll say last minute commitments have changed some people's schedules. And Pete DeJesus, who is the president of West New York Area Labor Federation, AFL-CIO, and also Jomo Okono from the Carpenters Union, and our workforce are not here, but Sam's going to give some comments on that, because when people make choices and decisions not to do something, they don't look at the whole ramifications of how it impacts a community that has been negatively impacted from this project from its inception. Sam.
Thank you. Sam Radford, Urban Think Tank. Let me just say first, as it relates to the environmental impact study, that the experts determined that all we needed was an environmental assessment. We don't know that. There were people whose job was to figure that out. So I'm not gonna pretend like we're not disappointed that now, after we've gone this far, got this much done, a court case is brought that sends us back to do stuff that if that's what needed to be done, hopefully that should have been determined up front, that that needed to be done. Because essentially what we see here, from our perspective, is nothing short of a miracle. I mean, we're talking about people who have committed, you know, I can go back to 1990 and being at tables with, you know, Lou Ross and Clark Eaton and people who were envisioning and working on this thing, you know, over 35 years ago. And the commitment of our majority leader in pulling all the federal people together to, you know, stay with an idea, stay with a vision, until you get to the place where you get over $1 billion committed and you able to have impact on the community. I'm talking about jobs. I'm talking about just the commitment to right or wrong, overcoming the injustice that it took place. It's nothing short of a miracle that we're standing here today, right? And so what we have to do is now say that what we hope is that people don't think that we didn't went 35 years and because you threw this kind of monkey wrench in here that that is gonna in any kind of way stop anything. You know what I'm saying? What that means, we're doubling down now. Amen. In our commitment to make sure we continue, even if it has already been passed from one generation to the next. Our goal is not to pass it to another generation, for us to get through this environmental impact study and let's get on with this project. There, right now, with all the uncertainty that's going on in the country, the last thing we need to do is create more uncertainty. Right. We need the opportunity to put people to work. Right. I mean, I'm gonna be real frank with you. I mean, we've promised young people to go get training, and after the training, we're gonna provide a job. We've done that over and over again. Here we are again. We provide, they didn't win and got the training. Now we're delaying it again. You know, at some point, you got to stop doing that to, you know, people. People lose faith when you do that. But here's our history is that we're not going to lose faith. Right. We're not going to stop fighting. No matter what happens, we're going to continue. But we're hoping that this environmental impact study is all that we need to finalize this and get this project going. And that all the promises that was made as in terms of the workforce opportunities that we made to people, that we keep those commitments, and that we make sure that we do the most fundamental thing that we're responsible for as community leaders, which is to make this community better than we found it. Thank you.
Next, we're gonna hear from Mr. Richard C. Cummings, president of the Black Chamber of Commerce of Western New York.
Hello, Buffalo and beyond. I sat at the table back in that 1963, and we had a vision in mind. The vision started to get bigger and bigger until we came to one of our leaders, Crystal Peoples, speaking with Governor Hochul, clearing the points of view in terms of where the ROC organization was going and what we were trying to accomplish and how important it was. And based on some of those conversations, I guess, and more, $1 billion plus was designated for this project. That was one of the greatest feelings that I had, along with many of us who had been in this struggle for that 30-year period of time, to see it finally coming to fruition, that that parkway was going to be restored in part, not complete all the way to Delaware, but in part, that at least the east side of Buffalo, the Humboldt Parkway, could then begin to recover from the decimation that took place as a result of that thruway being put in. Here we are today. I almost feel like, I don't know if you're familiar with that guy, Michael Jackson, he walked backwards. He walked backwards very well. I feel like we're walking backward a little bit, but we're gonna do this very well and with grace. And the one thing that we're not going to do is give up. Amen. You can believe that it is going to be a fight all the way until that first rock is pulled up and the shovel is in the ground to do this project. this project will go on.
Next, we will hear from Reverend Mark Blue, president of the National Association of Colored People.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I used to live on at 49 Rickard Street, which is just a couple of blocks over that way. I went to school 74. So I walked across this bridge from preschool to sixth grade. Then I moved on 515 Woodlawn. So I'm a product of this community. And one of the things that I've never seen the trees where the 33 is now. And even those, and I'm not trying to be insulting, if the trees were put back, those who want to put them back would never see them grow. We were faced with a lot of opposition. And I even had a meeting with the Department of Transportation for individuals to express themselves. And there was an individual who came up there with some disability health conditions. And she was saying it's because of the 33. And then I said, well, if it was covered, you may not have even had those health conditions.
All right now.
We need to look at all of the environmental studies, the impacts, and everything else to get the right answer to the questions that will always be posed. And once those answers come back, let's go forward with the project. This is not just a project that we're talking about, it's economic development and sustainability for our community that has been lacking. Give us what you promised us. We're talking about jobs creation. We're talking about businesses being started, not just in the 33 corridor area, but at least a mile or a mile and a half in each direction. We're talking about sustainability. We're talking about generational wealth that has been lost, that's coming back. I heard the young man who purchased his home and looking for a new fresh start, a new look. Listen, I'm looking forward to going through that tunnel.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to not having snow in my way. Help me, somebody. I'm looking forward for a fresh start. I'm looking forward for new environment. I'm looking forward for the economic development that will come in our community. I'm a preacher, so I'm not going to cuss. That has been long overdue. Give us what you promised us. Give us what you took away trying to be smart. Listen, we faced racism for a long time. And can I tell you that I'm an African-American and I don't celebrate it in February? I celebrate it 365 days a year. We as a community have to stop fighting one another and start getting along with one another. We as a community have to stop letting other people dictate to us what's good for us. That's called slavery.
All right.
I'm not a slave.
Go ahead, brother.
For no one.
Amen.
I have my own mind. And we know what we need as a community. Let's not let others dictate to what they think we need. We need the 33 covered. What will it do? It will solve some of the health crisis and issues that others have been affected by having an open air expressway. Let's get it together. Let's do the study. Let's do all the necessary things so we can have economic development in our community. Thank you.
Next, we will have Ellen Harris Harvey, president of the Trinidad Taxpayers Association.
Thank you, Sydney.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I echo every comment that's been made so far in this room. I am the president of the Trinidad Neighborhood Association Block Club, which is located at the junction of the 33 and the 198 Expressway. Imagine living there, having cars come off the hill and then having to drive through Humble Parkway, that close. There are people in our neighborhood suffering, and they have been for decades. I wrote a statement, but I just want to say, you know, we need to reconnect this community. That's what these dollars are for. And I want to commend our fearless female leaders, Crystal Peoples Stokes and Leah Halton Pope and Zanetta Everhart, because you know what? We have people that are leading in our community now who really see what we need. And we need to come together as a people and a community and have people that look like me standing up here telling you what we want instead of a group that have come in to divide us. We are better together. Let us start working together and not let somebody come and tear us apart in the middle of something great that has been done. I commend Governor Hochul for her commitment to this community. She did not have to appropriate this kind of funding to people who look like me and who look like us. But it's time. It's our time to stand up for ourselves and stop being divided by a group who will come in at the last minute who want to control the narrative of what we know we need. I wrote a statement. But you know what? I'm passionate about the work that I do because I work hard in the community. And guess what? I'm a professional volunteer. I don't get paid for the work that I do. We're not getting paid for the work that we're doing. We don't get a paycheck for holding a public meeting. I held 6 community conversations with the 198 Skagit Expressway after they released their plan at Canisius College in February in 2023. Because I felt like it wasn't gonna be correct for our neighborhood and it wasn't gonna solve the problems of the disparity that the people were experiencing in our neighborhood. So you tell me, you live over here and you're gonna experience what we experience because you wanna put cars on our roads that were not ever built to have the capacity of that kind of traffic that we experience today? No way. I say no way. Amen. We will not have cars come off a covered expressway and back in our communities to pollute us all over again.
Amen.
The EIS study is something that God sent. I'm an evangelist, okay? This is a study that's going to help the people understand that who have been shifted over to a side that they don't understand what's going on.
Amen.
They will understand that this is going to help our community and right some of the wrongs and solve some of the health disparities that we've been experiencing for decades in this community. So let us come together as a community, as an African American community. The people who live in this neighborhood need to be the ones on a lawsuit showing up for meetings. Not folks that live in Black Rock or near the lake or somewhere else that they're not even gonna be affected by the problems that are gonna be happening if we keep this expressway and we don't do anything about it. So we can't wait another 20 or 30 years.
Amen.
It's time.
Amen.
All right.
Next we will hear from Estherfine Green, who is the president of the Hamlin Park Tax or Community Park Tax Association.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Sydney. I'm mad, y'all, you know. This is my church. I am not an original member of Buffalo, unlike my predecessor, Stephanie Barbagito, on whose shoulders I stand. This was her vision. She drugged me into this, and as only she could do. We miss her, but I want to see what she fought for, along with Clark and Lumen and the Cummins. For 30 years, there have been meetings about this parkway, and I'm here to tell y'all that this is about $1 billion. It is not about health care. Them three Black folks who will remain nameless have not done anything in the last 30 years to improve health care on the east side of Buffalo. Not a thing. The white folk haven't done anything either.
Amen.
Racism is a brutal beast.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
What most folks don't realize is that racism, that peculiar institution, has affected not just me and people from the African diaspora who live here, but also white folk. Some white folk feel that we don't deserve $1 billion, that we're not smart enough to one, get it. That's why they weren't at the meetings in the beginning. And now that we have acquired the promise of that money, they want the money. Because again, they don't think that Black folk deserve the money. And unfortunately, there's some people who look like me who agree with that. But that's a class on racism, which is not here today. So what I want to say to the governor and everybody else is that we need to do what was promised. We need to, I say, tunnel it. People have went to school. We've got young people that Stephanie encouraged to go to school, go to Northern Carter, get the skills that you need so that when the jobs come, you are ready to throw your resume on the table. These kids, young people, have waited for that. They deserve to have jobs. Healthcare, well, when you have jobs, you can afford insurance, and therefore you can afford to go to a doctor. We are planning to improve not just covering, but as someone else said, for a mile and a half from Fillmore to almost Jefferson. We need to do that. It is owed to us. We've worked too hard for this to happen. And I don't understand why the state can't start the tunnel. Do the EIS study. We did an environmental impact assessment, which we were told was needed at the time. Now these Johnny-come-latelys want an environmental impact study. Okay, let them do it. Hopefully they'll pay for it because we don't want it coming out of the $1 billion. Start the tunnel project. Do the EIS project. And we can move on from there. That's fair. We've waited long enough, and honestly, I'm tired, and I don't have another 20 years on this earth to wait for this to happen. So, thank you.
Joe Moacono has come in, so I'm gonna let him give some comments before I bring about a close.
Thank you, everyone. I just came in. I'm a radio DJ personality, vice president of Juneteenth, local 276 Carpenter, and I also worked very hard with the Buffalo Public Schools for the last 6 years to create some pre-training to get people ready for the project so that the normal excuse that we don't have enough local people in the community qualified would be able to take advantage of this project. That's actually a replication of what's happening all over America, reconnecting cities, which is some harms that have been done to black communities all over America. This is just one place where I believe the shining example of how to do it right can take place. And labor, as you know, has been at the table for years trying to pre-plan. We actually have books, curriculum throughout many agencies, even non-union agencies that we have helped to try to get people pre-qualified so that when the time comes, the need can be met in the community on a project that actually has a higher requirement for community participation than even state rules, am I correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So this becomes like one of these one in a 20-year planning, maybe 100-year lifetime to re-correct wrongs of the past with the community and the communities included. Those who can get into the labor force, those who can have living jobs, those who can have ancillary jobs with the project, and also rebuilding a community for all the people who stuck it out while everybody else ignored us. Mm-hmm. So I just got off the road. I didn't really have a speech plan, but I have the rate sheets for living wage jobs in the city of Buffalo. And living wage helps stabilize the community, yeah, the neighbors and families. And I think that this is what it boils down to, making sure that our community gets a fair share to pull themselves up when the opportunities are granted. I believe that we have a win-win situation if people cooperate and want to be fair to black people, period. Thank you.
Amen. I just want to say in conclusion, we are standing here as a united force, and I want to just clear the airways. The Eastside Parkways didn't really sue the DOT. They sued ROC. And they sued our community because we have done the legwork to have community meetings. As the media, if you go back in the records of different stories, we've canvassed, we've marched, and we've also taken time to vet the projects to get to a covering. We didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, we're gonna have a project. And people tried to say, oh, the DOT just pushed this on the community. This didn't just happen. There have been decades of people sitting around a table and us meeting more than 2 times a month, and then you just don't meet at those times. You go out in the community and you talk to your community members. And as it's already been said, money was promised. Who in Buffalo works for more than 20 years on a project advocating for funding to happen and get the funding to have to reconsider their plan? Who does that? That's not even logical to do that. It is not feasible to put 75,000 cars into a community where the roads are not already properly maintained and kept. People talk about pollution and health disparities. There are too many, I'll say, the Humboldt Parkway where East Ferry is. I sit at that light more than two or three times because the cars cannot navigate going over the bridges. And speaking of going over the bridges, more than 10 years ago, the New York State DOT allocated funding to redo East Delavan, East Ferry, North Hampton, Dodge, Best, High, Jefferson, etc. Those bridges are not going to maintain much longer. The tub, which is what we saw as low-hanging fruit as a starting point to, one, bring economic stimulus to our community and also to reconnect. No other community and no other people have gone through the suffering of a community being divided, redlining and disinvestment, not proper utilization of fund, CBG grant dollars, et cetera. I mean, the list goes on. And it shouldn't take a pandemic or a mass shooting on Jefferson to realize the disparities that have happened in our community or the racism that is very alive and prevalent. And nor should we make decisions based on propaganda and lies. Because I'm sorry, the story that you, the media, have shared has been one-sided. And the facts that have been shared are not true. We are not stopping at Sydney and can't go through the Skajakwata. And I'll say, as Rock, this is a message we're going to be pushing. We're looking to tunnel the whole thing. Because if you can do the Holland Tunnel, the Lincoln Tunnel, the Windsor Tunnel, which are close to us, you don't have to go to Texas and other places where cities and states have already done a reconnection. If you go to our website, you can look at Ellis Park and other places where it's been done, even the Big Dig in Boston. We've done our research, and we know that this is the most viable plan. And I'm very confident that when we do an EIS, if that is necessary, but I will say to the DOT, Monday is your deadline if you want to change your mind. But if we have to go through the EIS, we will do that. But no more delays, and we cannot afford another 5 or 10 years to broaden the communication further. And quiet as it's kept, those that are saying that they oppose us sat at the table and went rogue. And I will say this, that Olmsted has been a part of ROC from its inception. And ROC was birthed because Olmsted cut us out of the picture. Olmsted's 21st century plan was supposed to go from Delaware Park all the way downtown. They stopped and then they cut it off at Main Street. Then they re-massaged it some more and just stopped at Parkside, the west side of Parkside. So ROC was birthed out of a need. The East Side has had great needs for years, but people always want to exclude us out of the equation. So we continue to fight. We still collaborate. Collaboration is key with the Skajakwata corridor. But the East Side folks have suffered the most harm and the most damage. And I want to go on the record that all minorities are not equal. And no one has suffered the same, the most harm, and I'll say just disenfranchised, we're marginalized, all the little buzzwords. No one has suffered it like the Black community. This is the time to really right a wrong, and if you want to do it, then that's where you need to come and support us, because not only do we need to connect the community, we need dollars for our roadway. We need dollars for our school system. It's sad that 75% of our Black children aren't literate. Let's get involved with that. Let's get involved with housing. The housing stock on the east side of Buffalo is the worst out of the whole city. What are we doing to help build that up? I'll say that's what ROC is about. This bridge to better is just the starting point. It was something to ignite the importance of the east side, the importance of putting economic dollars and infrastructure dollars on the east side to then branch out from there. Housing, businesses, jobs, quality of health, and most importantly, Black generational wealth. The property values on the east side have been depressed because of redlining and the expressway, and it's time to make a right to right the wrongs. So we are urging the DOT and our governor, we appreciate the support, but let's make sure the support stays focused and narrowed to the project that has already been vetted. Because if you look at the records, there were 10 projects that were listed, and the community was engaged on all sides to put in their public comments. And the comments dictated and won for us to do a covering. And that's what we are sticking with. So we hope that they We will re-engage, we will ignite. I'm grateful for all of my community members, those that are with me, those that are traveling. But the East, we are East Side strong, and I'm gonna say the East Side. People wanna change the narrative to say East Buffalo to try to make it seem different. You made us the East Side, we are East Side strong, and we are gonna develop our community. It's up for us to develop it and continue to rally. We welcome, support, collaborate with us, but help us to rebuild our community because we're deserving of it. Thank you all. I'm gonna open up for questions or comments for us. If the media has any particular comments, we will respond to those questions.
First, could you just state and spell your name and your title again?
Yes, my name is Sydney Brown, like the street Sydney, but mine is Sydney and Brown, Brown, and I'm the chair of the Restore Our Community Coalition.
Crystal, can you shed some light on if the ball was dropped on this environmental impact study? I mean, it seems
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Could you shed some light on if the ball was dropped somewhere along the state line on why the environmental impact study wasn't underway already?
Well, I guess I could start by going backwards in history. If you have seen an opportunity in Buffalo where $1 billion was invested in a community where black people live at, you understand why roadblocks can happen. Because you haven't seen that. It's never happened before. And as Sydney and others mentioned, it's not just about the 33. It's about the housing stock around it. It's about trees that are necessary for a good quality of life. It's about new sidewalks. It's about building the community and creating business. Most communities that have $1 billion invested in it, there's a residual that's still there. Mm-hmm. Money has been spent in Buffalo for a lot of years, including, I want to say, the whole school district thing that happened. What was that called? Yeah, and all these schools got redeveloped, but nobody was left in the community with a job as a result of it. Mm-hmm. This time, the intent was people would be left with a job as a result of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to, assume what the foundations who supported the opposition financially, because all the opposition that we've seen, that's not free, that's not cheap. It costs money to go to court. Somebody had to pay for that, and I assure you it wasn't the Eastside Coalition Park folks. It was not them. And so the people who financed this made a decision that this is not what they want. And that's totally adverse to the people who live here who said that is what they want. And they worked on it for 30 years. So it's just absolutely, totally unfair, and it's so true to what America has to offer black people, and particularly in Buffalo. Is that whenever you plan something for yourself and get the resources, you get stopped. And so, as I said earlier, if it takes 2 more years, let's go.
Yes.
Okay, because there's no way that you can stop fighting for what's in the best interest of your people. Mm-hmm. I want to honor at this moment, since you brought this question up, Ben from the EOC, that is literally working with the trades to train people to be able to work on this job. And they're successful. And I want to honor Frank Daniels, too. I just went to one of his graduating classes for his students that have been through construction training. They're women who had not worked for a while that now can drive excavation equipment. They're trained and able to do this kind of work, and now we have to put it off again. And so I would only hope that, you know, people who may be listening to this over the press and realize that we've got all these people of color that are ready to be in the construction industry, give them a chance to work. If you're not going to let this project happen before next 2 years or 4 years, give them a chance to work tomorrow. And I'm so glad that Jomo is here, because I know he's very connected to the trades. And I know that we spent an awful a lot of time talking to all of the building trades. Like, you know, don't get excited about this as an opportunity for you to hire your existing workers. You got to hire people who live in this community. They have made commitments to that. I believe it. And we have prepared the people to be ready for it. The only thing that we don't have now is we got to be stopped to do an EIS study, because someone, and I don't know who they are, but they have enough resources to pay to get their way. And that's what they're doing here, stopping the project because this is not what they want. Amen. It's sad, but it's real.
Amen.
Do you have any idea how much economic development?
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Do you have any idea how much economic development might be spurred by covering 3/4 of a mile of an expressway with grass and trees? And spending $1.5 billion to do it. A lot of times, you know, they say, well, if we invest this much, we'll get this much back. Has anything been done to demonstrate that? How much you might get?
You could actually speak to
you might find
on the website.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll speak to that. Back in 2012, and the report was done in 2014, UBRI did a study. We did an economic impact study, which said that this project would more than pay for itself. And I also want to just say, let's do the math on how much money we've lost from all the years we continue to stall it, and also how much money we've lost because you depressed our property values. Because if you have value in your home and you can take out your own equity, you can do other things that are resourceful. So besides just the trades, our people will have an opportunity to develop their own businesses. Because we're not just laborers, we're also entrepreneurs, and we have the wherewithal to run an effective business. So the economic impact study is on our website, and you can find that.
What types of businesses might sprout up around here? Are you talking about higher property values and people are paying more taxes? Because, well, you know, first of all,
number of people who will have to come to this area to work. Estimate those people and what their needs are while they're here. Who can provide that for them? Existing businesses that are already here or business that could be created.
Correct.
If you've got 500 people working in an area for 4 years, there's an opportunity for business.
Yes, there is.
Any idea how long this study might take? Ballpark, or how much the study will take? How long?
I'm not sure. I'll say, and just thinking of other projects, it could be 15 months to 2 years. That would be a question for the DOT, but I'm thinking that since they just did an environmental assessment, and I want to say with doing the environmental assessment, the DOT went above and beyond what an assessment is, what's required in an assessment, which it was close to an EIS. So I'm hoping that some of that information doesn't have to be redone so that we can be good stewards of our tax dollars.
But you also have to keep in mind that a part of the new EIS study is figuring out what do you do with 75,000 cars to get downtown
exactly.
Every day. That's the other part of the study. That's what the people who stopped this project want to see happen.
The ones that want to fill it in and
right. They want to fit. That's right. They want to fill it in, but yeah. You have to do an environmental study to figure out where the traffic is going, how is it going to impact the community, where it's ending up at environmentally. And so there's a lot of work that has to go into that, and it's not a fast process. Commissioner said probably 18 months to 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it could be longer.
To go off that point, Crystal, one of the arguments that the coalition is making with the 75,000 cars to just completely fill the tunnel because there already is an expressway going through Buffalo, which is the 190. Would you want to respond?
That's
to
what the EIS study will look at.
Mm-hmm. Right. And also, I'll just say with it, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist when you think about the 290 or the 190. That doesn't go through the city. You know, I'll say Robert Rose's era was important. I'll say my mindset of the expressway coming in has just developed through the years when I think about progress. During Olmsted's time, not every family had a car. Now you got families, every household pretty much has a car or has more than one car. So a highway was needed, just like the 33 initially going outbound and inbound used to be just two lanes. As a kid for me growing up, the main expressway where we're talking about covering it and putting a cap on has always been three lanes, but going further out was not three lanes. But the necessity of the volume of cars made it such that we had to make it three lanes so that Grass Meridian is not there. I also want to talk about health and safety of us. Whether you're in the city or in the suburbs, you have a heart attack or stroke, you're going to try to navigate the artery streets to get to Buffalo General, to get to ECMC, to get to Sisters Hospital. We're already gridlocked. And I'm going to share this example as I shared it at the Common Council when they wanted the council to make a resolution on filling it in. On a Sunday afternoon, about 3 weeks ago, I'm coming from an event on Broadway, coming down Fillmore North, and I'm stopped at Sycamore. There's two cars ahead of me, and I sit at that light for three times on a Sunday afternoon. The school system has already done a tiered release system where there's like three times. It's almost like being on a job and you got a schedule in order for our children to get home in a timely fashion. That's what the current
traffic patterns. Imagine putting 75,000 cars on it, how that's going to be impactful. And also, cars idling emit more green gases than cars moving at a swift speed. So I already know it, and I'll say this is something historically, as a community, as a Black community, we know what we need, but you got to redo data to just figure out what we've been saying all along is the fact. So if they want to waste money, and I'd like to hold the people who have opposed this accountable, that the money that we have to spend to end up with the same result, you pay for that, because you're wasting people's time and our tax dollars to redo or to figure out what is very obviously not possible. We've already used money to restripe our streets with bike lanes, which in Buffalo, with the cold weather that we have, how many people use those streets or those bike lanes? Now, lanes that were two-way in each direction, we're down to one. Whoever decided to put that meridian in Main Street, you know, where cars have crashed into it, that was not wise. If an emergency vehicle, whether it's a fire truck, a EMT or whatever, needs to navigate and we're gridlocked, that loses people's lives. And I'm sorry, above anything, people first, people before parks and people before profit.
That's right.
And we need to keep that in mind as we re-engage with rethinking about what we already know is true.
Mm-hmm. Majority of the day, just a couple housekeeping questions.
Housekeeping questions.
I don't think DOT specifically mentioned an environmental impact study in their statement yesterday. You said you spoke directly with the governor and she said they're going forward with an environmental impact study.
Well, but that is what the courts have said need to happen.
Right.
So, of course, that's what they're going to do.
Right.
They're not appealing it.
Right.
But once again, if the deadline is Monday, if they want to reconsider, they could.
The option is still on the table.
Right.
And the other question, we spoke with the transportation chair of the Senate last week, Jeremy Cooney. He said that the Senate has earmarked money specifically for the Kensington in this year's budget because it needs to remain there to make sure that the federal matching dollars stay.
The governor has made a commitment to hold on to the resources that the state would provide for this project. Obviously, no one's making a commitment on holding on to the federal dollars because, as you know, the new administration does not even like the idea of reconnecting communities that have been negatively impacted by traffic. So we may end up losing that, but the governor's committed to holding the resources.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.